Irvin Shiflett, who is also called Pete. Where did you live, Mr. Shiflett? Back when you were a child.
Oh, I lived just about a mile and a half from what they call Rocky Bar, up at the foot of the mountain, Blue Ridge Mountain.
Okay, fine. And we are also interviewing Mr. P.J. Roach.
J.P.
J.P. Roach.
Yeah.
Where did you live, Mr. Roach, when you were a child?
Murder. Right beside a peanut.
How's right beside? About a quarter mile?
Oh, about 100 yards, I think. 500 yards? Maybe it was not that far, but it wasn't over 200, I don't think. Maybe it was. Pretty close. Okay. And Mrs. Roach, Senior, who lived, where did she live? Same place. Same place as you did. You're going to be speaking, Benny Cup. <laughs> And Benny Cup, who lived...
Well, I grew up up Dayton, but my people all grew up there.
Down here is where?
Yeah, right.
Where?
Well, right above Rocky Bar.
Right above Rocky Bar.
Right.
And Hazel Roach, where did you live, Hazel?
Well, I lived down here on 340. About 2 miles above Rocky Bar.
Okay. Well, I know you'll be talking, so I wanted your voice identified. Okay. Now, you all were living pretty much around in the same area. You were childhood friends then? Were you childhood friends?
Oh, yes. Yeah, sure.
Did you have any other childhood friends?
Well, yes. Some of them has passed away, and then some is still living. It's gone away from around here and moved off.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, the Range family,
and
the Rawson family lived over land right at Jones Park.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's quite a few that's not around here now that used to be around.
What was your mother's maiden name?
Bessie Royer.
Royer. Mm-hmm. R-O-Y-E-R?
R-O-Y-E-R.
Okay. Where did, how far away had she lived? Do you know where her home place was?
She was raised right around in this area here. They used to live just maybe half a mile up the river up here on what they called it. It used to be a royal lot, they call it there. They was raised around in this area.
All right. And your mother's maiden name was what?
Luma Roach.
Luma Roach?
Luma. Luma?
Yeah. But her maiden name was Roach?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, then Roach married Roach. Okay. All right. Now, how many children were in your family, Mr. Shiflett?
Seven.
Seven. Was that about normal for that?
Well, yes, I guess around about that time, they raised pretty big families.
Yeah.
They've grown, I think it was 10 in my wife's family, and they run around 7, 8, 9, and 10 children, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a lot of children. How were they cared for? Were they disciplined very strictly?
Ma'am?
Were they disciplined?
Oh, yes. More so than they are today.
You mean they'd go out with a switch with these children?
Oh yes. If you disobeyed what they told you not to do, you got a whipping for it.
Did you ever disobey?
Oh, sure I did.
You did?
Yes, indeed. I think I learned a little by it, too. Yeah.
Paid off, didn't
it? Yes, I think so.
How about you, Mr. Roach? How was the discipline in your home?
Well, I got a whooping, too.
Did all of you have special jobs that you were supposed to do? Like, was it your job always to milk the cows, or your job to do something like that?
Well, yeah, mostly my sisters, they inside to work like that there, and of course they'd help out some, but then my brother and I, we we were getting the wood, get wood and all like that there, and we had jobs in the evening. That's what we did if we wanted to get all our time off from school from Christmas. Mm-hmm. We had to walk 2.5 miles to school, mm-hmm. at least 2 or 2.5.
Yeah.
And then when we came home in the evening, we got wood and like that there is our job.
Sure.
We had to keep that wood on the porch and it was handy.
Did you have much of a job finding wood?
No, we had plenty of wood. It was wood all around us. We had no trouble except just getting it in, dragging in with a horse or hauling in with a wagon, like that.
Did either of you ever do any logging, cutting trees down for poles for the telephone company or for the railroad?
No, my daddy, he made some ties. They used to build and make ties, and we'd haul them out here, what you call concrete.
Yeah.
And they had a sidetrack up there, and we also hauled some bark out. And we load the bark here in a dugout. And we load this bark on there, mm-hmm. and haul it there, and they load it on these cars, and then it was shipped away. And Mr. Roach, Miss Lou here's father, he was tended the scales. Here at concrete, he tended the scales there and weighed the bark for any dudgy when we taken the bark in there, and also counted the ties and after that.
So you'd strip the bark from
off the trees,
and then would you use the trees and
yeah, stuff? Then you'd use the trees to make the, take the bark off the tree and then use the trees to make the ties. And the fellow, Mr. J.T. Hurd from Elkton, was the one that run the scales up here. He was the one that run the scales and bought the bark and the ties.
Hurd, H-E-R-D?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Mainly cutting trees for your firewood. Would you look for dead trees?
Oh yes, you needed dead wood, so you'd look for dead trees, but also we cut a lot of green wood, but we'd always mostly pick out the bad trees, you know, for wood like that. You never cut good trees for just for wood unless you had to do it, which we didn't have to.
Yeah, right.
Let the timber grow.
Sure, right. Were the chestnuts here when you were here?
Oh yes, and plenty of them.
Yeah. Was that a money crop?
Well, no, not exactly. We didn't sell any chestnuts like that there, but we would just go out and pick them and bring them in and eat all we wanted like that there and give them away or whatever.
You didn't use them for money?
No, we didn't use them for a money crop, but it was a lot of them that time. We did, I think, a couple of times, I think, in Miss Lou here, we sold some chinky pins. And we shipped some chinky pins in and got, I think it was $1 a gallon we sold some for.
Oh, boy.
But now, if we'd have thought about the chestnuts, I don't know what we could have got out of them if we'd have thought about it. Back at that time, had a way of selling them, you see.
Yeah.
Because I remember when the chestnuts went out, I was just, I expect maybe 12 or 15, and the chestnuts began to leave.
Yeah.
But when I was young, I remember my daddy climbing trees, just shake a tree, and you could pick up a 24-pound bag full in just a little long time, just out of one off of one tree.
Right. Didn't you sell any chestnuts?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Things have done died out by the time I was coming around.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they left in a hurry. They didn't, once they started to leave, the chestnuts left in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a tragedy, wasn't it?
Indeed it was.
Yeah. Do you recall any herbs or poultices that your mother used when you got ill?
No, really I don't in that way of anything was used like that there. I think, but only mustard, you know, like a lot of people use this mustard plaster, they call it. And they take and throw this mustard in the seed and just grind and mash them up, you know, like that there, and make a mustard bowl.
Yeah.
That is for, tights of the chest or anything, children.
Did you ever have turpentine in
children? Oh, yes, yes, we've taken that a lot of times. Turpentine was one of the main medicines for us.
Yeah.
For sores, take it, or any way at all.
Yeah. How would you use it for sores?
Just put it on.
Raw turpentine?
Yeah, raw turpentine, yeah.
Didn't it hurt?
Oh, it'll burn like a lot of other medicine, but then it seemed like it healed too. Maybe some think it did, but it looked like it worked back when we were young.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just put it on, looked like it did, your fingers didn't get sore or anything, just walked.
Did you ever get a snake bite?
No, I had my mother and my sister got snake bit by a copperhead.
What'd you do?
Well, they had to get them out, they had to take them to a doctor. They got them out of the mountains and they take them to, well, my mother went to the hospital. And didn't hurt my sister too bad because she was bit right after my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And but my mother's leg swollen up, they bit them both right back of the heel there.
While we're talking about money crops, did you ever do it or know of anybody who started fires so that you'd be sure of having huckleberries?
Oh yes, I think it was quite a few fires set, that is for huckleberries, I think was some set, and then I think it's really some set it, that really made the huckleberries, but it was kind of accidental, or some of them didn't just cure or something like that there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think it was some set, we call it over here, Lamb Town, we used to call it over, and I think they had a, fire wardens had a little trouble over in there with them, but every few years as the fire would get out and burn over a few ridges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it
because
did make
now, huckleberries was a money crop.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you gather them?
Ma'am?
Did you gather them?
Oh, the huckleberries? Oh, sure, yeah.
How much would you get?
Oh, we would pick them at times. We'd get 50 to 75 cents a gallon for them, sometimes a quarter. We didn't get but a quarter a gallon.
Oh.
But then you got up to 50 and 75 cents, which I could go in the mountains and on a half a day and pick 6 gallons of huckleberries. That was the trouble.
But back in her younger time, they didn't bring that much. 15, 25 cents a gallon at one time.
Yeah, I picked them for 25 too. But you see, if you pick 6 gallons of huckleberries back at that time, a dollar and a half, went a long way.
Sure did, right. It was a lot of work.
Because I've worked for a dollar a day and less. I've worked for 75 cents. So, you know, if I'd make a dollar and a half picking huckleberries, that's there. And only 4 hours, of 4 hours the mountains all I'd be, just messing the rest of the way going and coming.
Sure, yeah.
But it wasn't so easy.
Yeah.
A lot of rattlesnakes.
Yeah. You were talking about school. Did you both go to the same school?
I reckon I
went
to Rocky Barnes.
Yeah,
did
that's right.
Rocky Barnes School.
Rocky Barnes.
And it was about 2.5 miles
away. Yeah, I think it is. About too close to it, yeah.
Did you... school started when? In September or October?
Well, I think then it started sometime, I believe it was in September, I believe it was last September or something. Now, maybe it's first, I just don't remember, just about the school, but I knew it was, I think it was sometime in September.
And would it go through May or June?
Well, no, back then I think we, it let out for May, I believe it was. I'm sure we had about 6 or 7, about a 7 month school, I believe, when I was going to school, it was about 7 months, I believe.
7 months?
Yeah, I think something like
that. How many grades?
We're in the seventh grade.
Seventh
we taught
grade.
There, seventh grade.
Was it a one-room school?
Two-room.
Two-room.
Mm-hmm. You had the, we started like what they call on a primer.
Yeah.
See? And then the first grade, and like that, the first thing you learned, the ABCs, the multiplication tables, like that there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, I didn't finish the seventh grade I started, but I just finished the sixth grade.
Why didn't you go through seven?
Just went to work. Went to work when I was 15. We worked, we did, we, whenever, back at that time, I don't know, we, you could see it later on, education, we needed it. But then, just whenever we could get work and was old enough to work, we just went on to work.
Had you ever made any plans or dreams about what you wanted to do when you grew up?
No, I don't think really we did. I think it was mostly we just lived a life, you know, going to school, that is when the school was there, and then during the summers we worked in what little patches we had and like that there. And outside of that, we hunted a little when there was rabbits, feet, come down here to the river and fish, and so I don't think, as I remembered, I really thought about just what I wanted to do or anything. I guess with my education, I just felt like I would work just like my daddy or the others, just labor work, and that would be it, you see.
Sure. Now, let's get into the garden. What kind of vegetable gardens did you have? How big were they?
Well, we had a couple of fields where we raised a little corn and stuff. Like that there, and
a couple of fields
week,
means a couple of acres.
We go down. Oh, we had about four acres in the field. We had about three fields there and a small orchard and like that there. But we raised a little wheat now and then. Sometimes it we put a little wheat out, and it was they could get it priced. There was a fellow down here by the name of Hickle, wasn't it? They would come up with the thrashing machine, and they'd come in and thrash you, wheat for you. If you didn't have maybe 35, 40 bushels, they would come in and thrash you for you.
Did you ever raise cane?
Yes, we raised cane and made molasses.
In your vegetable garden, you grew what?
We had potatoes, beans, and carrots, most anything back at that time, and cabbage, beets, times we had strawberries already in our garden like that there, you know, and we had all kinds of bushes, all of us, like these quince, old time quince, and the kerns to make jellies and stuff out of. We had all those bushes back at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the most of it, all little places, don't make any difference. You didn't have but a couple acres. Most of you had a couple cherry trees, some apple trees, and like that there.
What kind of apple trees?
Well, most of them were kind of the old tiny apples. I remember the smokehouse, they called it.
Oh.
And we had one apple there. I don't even know the name of it. It was just a summer apple, like.
Mm.
And the Ben Davis and the wine sap.
Did you all know grafting?
No, we had heard of it, and I know my daddy tried it a little bit. He never could do nothing with it. I remember that. He was trying to do it, but they'd always die on him. He never could. He'd just hear talk about it, and you know, and he'd get out, and he could do it, but he didn't have the right stuff to do it with.
Yeah.
So it didn't work.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that we had the Milam apple too. That was good.
Oh yeah.
They were really good.
Those Milams are marvelous. Now, with your all your fruit trees and your huckleberries and everything, did you dry any huckleberries at any time?
Dry? No, we never. We canned them. You would can huckleberry, but we never tried it.
Did you dry cherries?
Yeah, my wife, we never did, but my wife's people across, she was from across the mountain in back of Free Union, where she came from back up in on the mountain, and her mother dried cherries.
Mrs. Shiflett, where was it you came from?
Alamore County.
You did? Tell me a bit about your life, how you grew up. I understand there were 10 children in your family?
Yes.
What sort of a house did you live in?
Well, on the other side of the mountain, it was a low place.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had another girl with me, another boy.
Did you have a vegetable garden?
Oh, yes, we certain things, but like he said.
How about flowers? Did you have flowers?
Yes, we had some. We had fruit trees too before we moved across from this back now. Cherries, peaches, apples. We used to have the same, you know, put up gardens and that.
And you dried huckleberries?
No, I dried my huckleberries, but cherries.
Cherries. You dried cherries.
My mother did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's a question I was wondering. In doing your laundry, did any of you hear about taking some peach leaves and putting them in a bag when you were boiling white clothes?
I don't think I did.
Did you ever hear of that?
No, we made homemade soap. And that's what they used mostly. And they had something back there they'd buy at the stores when they could get out with the bluing, they called it. They used it for the bleach the clothes a little. They called it bluing.
Yeah, right. Now, did you have cows?
Yeah.
How many cows did you have in the church?
They had two there one time.
Most everybody had cows. That was the main thing.
Yeah.
The cow, that was about, you had the cow and the hog.
Yeah.
That's just about pigs.
Sure.
And garden.
And chickens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you have bells on your cows?
Yeah, we just run them back in the woods. Just in there, that was another job for us boys.
Yeah.
And his brother, one is dead now. We would, in the evening, my brother, all three of us, we'd go hunt cows. That's the one job we had to do in the summer.
Uh-huh.
We'd go out and listen for them cowbells and then go till we did hear them. That's the way it was. You just keep it going and hunting around. So most like to know just about which direction, once they started using them, where to find them at. Sometimes we would miss out and have to go. Okay.
Mrs. Shiflett, how many cows did you have in your family when you were growing up?
Well, I can remember, about two.
Two? Mm-hmm. Now, all families made cottage cheese or clobber and butter.
Yeah.
Would you sell these?
Well, at that time you would sell butter. Yeah, they would sell some butter like that there.
Where was your nearest store?
Well, the nearest store is what they call Rocky Bar.
Rocky Bar. Okay. Now, when you took your eggs and butter in, did they give you money for cash or give you credit?
Well, sometimes they would give you credit, or mostly when you went to the store like that, you would take your eggs and buy your groceries with them and bring your groceries back. And if you had something coming to you, they would give you the money. And if you were then, if you owed them something, then you paid them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, that was something we was growing up. Eggs was something that you only got on Easter. You didn't get eggs these every day like you do now. That was something that was on Easter. That was a treat for Easter was eggs. We had eggs, but they used them for to get the coffee and sugar and like that.
I don't know what they do with it, but Casey got a thing up here that sells the eggs to the store. It was a token.
Yeah.
Deal now. Is that something they trade for?
No, but when we took huckleberries down, we got an old, we just wrote
a
due bill.
Yeah, now when we sold huckleberries, we'd get what they call a due bill.
Mm-hmm.
See, because we would, wouldn't be a lot of children picked the huckleberries, and sometimes it, we would take our huckleberries in and they would give us the due bill for them. We could give them to our mothers or whatever, you know, daddies like that there, and sometimes we did, but then sometimes they would give us the due bill to buy clothes and things for start to school or like that.
Would you buy your shoes there at the same store?
Yeah, mostly they kept some shoes there and things that we could buy at the store.
And did your mother make your clothes?
Oh yeah, she made a lot of our clothes and things like that there, but except our overalls we'd have to buy. But mostly she made a lot of, basically for the girls, that's when she made a lot of the girls' clothes.
How about when you were growing up, Mrs. Shiflett, did you take eggs and butter and things like that to a store?
The only thing I can remember is taking eggs then, my mother.
Okay.
Because I was small, you know, from
How far away was that store?
It was about 5 miles.
5 miles, I guess.
Yeah. That was a good walk, wasn't it? And then you'd buy the things and have to walk back up
but,
again, right?
They had a horse and buggy too.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's it. How many horses did your family have?
We had two mostly for a while, and then we got children. But when you had to have most of two if you farmed a little bit, the plow gardens. We would go out and plow gardens for other people, come up to Rocky Bar, and use the team to plow gardens.
And how many did you have, Mr. Rush?
We didn't have any, no.
How did you plow the gardens then?
Well, we got them.
See, the neighbors always, you know, around with the plow guards, but people didn't have horses, they were always in the
Your wheat, where was the mill? to have that made into flour.
Well, that was what they call Iron Ford down here. You cross the river bridge, and then you'd turn to your right, and you'd go down over there, what they called it, the Riverbank Mill.
And, that was a distance.
Oh, yes. It was probably, I'd say, it was close to 5 miles, I guess, down there.
How would you get it there?
Well, we take the, we had a one-horse wagon. You'd take one horse and the wagon, and you'd leave home and get back maybe 2 o'clock in the evening, leave that morning. And it just depends on how busy the miller was. If he was busy, well, you'd think he'd go starve before you did get back, so.
Did you pay the miller to do it, or did he?
Oh, yeah. They, well, you either paid them, or they would take a certain amount of your flour, the wheat, or the cornmeal, or whatever out, mm-hmm. and then give you the rest of it.
Right.
Of
same way with you?
Well, we just bought most of that.
You didn't raise any wheat? Okay. Tell about the apple butter boiling.
Well, that was apple butter boiling was something that was most every year, wasn't it? And everybody.
Everybody did that.
Yeah.
And one would help the other. Maybe we'd have an apple peeling here for a couple nights because they got ready to boil apple butter and it all gather in. Peel apples and so forth. Then when the other got ready, then we'd gather in and that's the way. So we got around. Each one made a little apple butter.
Sure. Did you make any party apple?
No, not really. I think it was maybe places, but mostly we just stirred apple butter, you know, and a couple during the day like that there, and we take it off in the evenings when it's got done.
Mm-hmm. Did you have the custom that if the paddle touched the side of the kettle?
Well, that was the old saying, all right. If you can get somebody to stir with you.
Did you ever go up into Bacon Hollow or Smoke Hollow?
That was on the other side. And I've been up in there, but I never was acquainted with many up in there. But I knew a few people that live up in the head of Mile Run, where I live on now.
Mm-hmm.
There's Luther Morris. And then I was Sonny Schiffer, lived down over on what's called Ivory Creek, or Ivory Branch. It was Ivory Creek, I believe you call that. And then there was a Breeden lived in there, and Tom Shepherd.
What were those people like?
Well, they were just, say, people mostly that, people looked like they wanted to live off to themselves, and I guess be quiet and like that there. They didn't like, I don't think, crowds in a way or get out. They mostly come to the store and go back, and they would come out and work. Mr. Morris, he would come out and maybe stay through corn cut.
Mm-hmm.
And live out and cut corn, and then he would go back up. Now, he lived on a Hinkle farm, a grazing farm. That's where some of the people lived up in there, was living on grazing farms. And others then owned their homes, which a lot of them just went back in and cleaned up ground.
Mm-hmm.
And in the park, and some of them owned the homes and re-owned the land, but some of them didn't. Like the ones who lived above me here, over where I live now.
Mm-hmm.
They just went in and cleaned up the land and just lived there till the park come and taken it over, and they had nothing, no deed for it. If they had anything, it was just for so they could pay taxes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you hear of much moonshining up there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they made it. Most of the moonshine was made around just a lot of places. But I don't think say that they all made a living or depended on it all the time.
No.
Because a lot of them worked out, and I've heard my cousin, one of my oldest cousins, say that he remembered them up in the mountains there taking a load of cabbage out to Elkton and sell. Well, now, you know, take a one-horse wagon and take a load of cabbage out, and there's beds with the hole. And that's the way a lot of them, whatever they had to sell, they would take it out like that. But there was a lot of whiskey made back in there.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't get any of it unless somebody knew you or something like that, because it was people, they didn't trust you that much unless they knew you or something like that. That was
right.
Yeah. You have to tell them who sent you. At least I think a lot of them that didn't talk much when you a stranger come around, they didn't have too much to say. They didn't feel, they felt like they was invaded on or something like that, or what was something up. That's the way they figured it was something trouble or something.
They were probably afraid it was a revenue.
Well, right? That's true too, yes.
Did you hear of many fights going on up there?
Well, down in New Jersey some, and a lot of them sometimes would, the younger fellows would get out and maybe get out to a big day or something going on to help them, and maybe they'd have quite a few rounds.
I think they were the ones that made Elkton have a bad reputation, don't you? Because they really were busy. Now, how about, you say everybody would get together at apple butter boiling. Was this unusual to be visiting like that, or did people regularly visit?
Well, it was just, I guess, a get-together, but of course, some had lived close enough. Well, we was, Ms. Roach here and myself and all, we lived close enough together. It was just hauling distance. We, the boys, we went together, squirrel hunting in the fall and all like that, growed up that way.
Mm-hmm.
As you might say, the boys, we had to run of the woods up in here. It didn't make any difference who it belonged to. Mm-hmm. We hunted on it, nobody said nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls in it all, and my mother and JP's mother here, they would go out to stores together and come back together, like mm-hmm. that, in church.
We done a lot more fishing then than we do now.
Oh yeah, that's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they'd go to see each other, or talk, you know, like that, and go out to picking huckleberries and going back and forth together, like that.
Would you visit for the evening?
Yeah, they'd come out, set the store and talk and do, and all get together then.
Yeah.
Play checkers.
Mm-hmm.
I think people were just, you know, just a whole lot more closer then. When you meet somebody, you have time to talk. Now they don't even, you know, just talk for hands.
Men used to meet and whittle sticks.
Sit down and whittle.
Everybody's
moving
anymore.
Too fast. Now they ain't got time to talk.
Speaking of whittling sticks, did you ever see any of these mountain people with a that they would use to call a neighbor?
I don't know. We used to make a lot of these whistles out of chestnut.
Uh-huh.
You know, the small chestnuts?
Mm-hmm.
We would trim out whistles and make them out of that there where you could call if you wanted to on them because they'd be right loud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we made you sit down and sometimes make three or four of one of these boys just in a little while. It didn't take long. In the spring of the year, you had to make them when the sap was coming up in them, so without bursting the bark on them,
mm-hmm.
you had to twist it off whole, you know, right until the sap come up, and then twist it off whole,
mm-hmm.
and slip the stick out, and then fix your ends in it,
mm-hmm.
and then make it whistle. Yeah.
But you never heard of the mountain people using it to call it?
No, I never heard of that, no.
Yeah.
No.
Any of these fires, like lightning fires or anything like that, was that a fright to the people because of their houses?
Well, I guess in a way it might some of them would get a little excited, but mostly the first thing you thought about was firing around your house. If it got close enough to you, you just start regardless of what was going to happen. I remember one time Ross's place up here, it was a fire. Got out, well my brother let him get out, and we got him there, and he'd taken his fire on up into the mountain. Well, I thought of the house over there. The first thing I did was me and another boy went around clean over there, and we had matches, and we started the fire just right around the house and put it back and just let it burn away from the house and
be
gone and just save the house there.
Sure. Very good. Right. Did any fires ever start from their chimney? That you know?
I really don't think too many did or anything like that there. I think that mostly people will sometimes it'd be dry and they'd be burning something, and the woods wouldn't be too far off, and a whirlwind or something would get in the ashes after they leave it, and that would cause a fire.
Mm.
Lightning would cause a lot of fires.
Sure.
Lightning, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think most of the fires, of course, now would come from a lot of them come from the A&W, don't I mean from the trains. We have quite a few fires would get out from the trains.
Oh, yeah.
But back at our time, it was just most, and a lot of people like to say, they just want to start a fire.
Yeah.
I don't know what he, I remember one time it was told to me, Mr. John Gooden and Mr. Dugans, two old men, and they was cutting egg strike up here in the mountains. And Mr. King was living up there at the place my daddy bought off of him, and he moved out. But anyway, they'd had a little trouble with each other or something. And so one of them said to the other, said, this would burn John King out. And so they scared him to death or something like that. And so they take the match and threw it down in the leaves. And first, you know, he got started and they have to think about the X-strike. So, man, we got a carload and a half X-strike up there. And they tried to out it and they couldn't out it and burn up all the X-strike.
That'll teach him.
It looks like every time you go to burn a brush pile and be just as still as it can be, and you think, well, it's a good time to burn things, the wind get up every time. Both times, I don't know, the heat from the fire causes the wind.
It does. It causes a draft.
Yeah.
First thing on the wind.
Well, I've been scared quite a few times burning things like that. You know, I'm afraid it would get in the woods, because we fought a lot of fires that would get out like that there. We well, after so long, you got paid for some of it, but we fought fires when we didn't get nothing for it.
Mm-hmm.
Just to keep it out of certain property. If we could keep it back in the mountains,
mm-hmm,
like that, and then they would fight around their house, and if it burnt over the mountains, well, they'd just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just saved what, you know, the land you had and your house and the others around us like that, and forgot what to call the big today. In the property, which is a park now, we just there's nothing we could do about it. You just, because you couldn't out it, you get it out.
Sure. Right. You know, I'd like to talk about a fun thing. How did fellas court a girl?
Well, I guess it's just mostly. Well, it's different, I guess. Now, you mostly went to the houses then.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You went to the house to see a girl, and
were you chaperoned?
No, not exactly. I don't think it.
You mean they trusted that gleam in
your eyes? Yeah, I think it's more or less that they was there, and they because the fact was, you didn't get to go no place much except sitting in the room there in the house. That was the whole idea of coming to the house.
Yeah.
If you sat in the room there with like that. Of course, they would go out some like that there. When I was growing up, we would get out after I got the age. I worked on the railroad, and of course, we would go to McAggsville. The schools over there, if they had a school play or anything like that that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take your girlfriend.
What were the weddings like?
Well, I don't think it. Most of the people didn't have any big weddings or anything like that there. Mostly, I was just married in front of a preacher like that there. And I think quite a few of them were married like that there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the weddings like they have today or nothing like that.
Before I started this tape, you were talking about a funeral of somebody or a burial ground of somebody.
Oh, that was Browns. Yeah, that was the colored people that lived up above where I live at now. Back up in there, it's about a mile, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And that, I guess it's, I just don't know how many was buried there, but I know it seemed like to be the way the graves looked, it's probably several.
Yeah. Did they use tombstones?
No, they just had markers there.
Rocks?
Yeah, just rocks.
Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of rocks, was anybody around here a stonemason?
Oh yes, we had several stonemasons that lived in Berrytown.
Uh-huh.
They were shippers, Oscar Shippers, and I can't think now, but I know there were several of them, because they put that rock fence in that rock church up there at Rocky Bar.
Okay.
Yeah, see, hey, that was, they built that when I was just small. I was just a kid, but I remember.
Did you use stone fences around your gardens?
No, we generally just used, back at one time, we had what they call a rail fence. That was the first thing we put around it there. Then when you got some wire, just anything to keep your cows out is what you use.
Well, didn't you have a lot of rocks in your ground?
Well, no, at some places we had a lot of rocks now, just like at where they lived apart, about an acre and a half there. And it was not too many rocks on it. It was mostly just smooth land. It wasn't no rocks on it.
No rocks on your property?
Now, if we had fields up there, maybe one little spot in the field would be rocky and the rest of it would be smooth. Like that. But now in Rocky Bar, most of all, you see a lot of rocks and these creeks and all like that. Turns which there's the creek. Now, where I live at now is through some rock in my garden. But over my daddy's place is just about a half a mile. I don't think it's a half a dozen rocks back at that time was in the garden.
How about further up in the mountains?
Well, you're up in the mountains up there. If you got on up in the mountain, they'd have nothing but just pure black, rich soil. That was real ground where they could really grow stuff. Back at that time, beans, cabbage, and potatoes, and like of that, they didn't have no trouble, no bugs, or nothing.
That's cabbage come off there. You're eating. That's
cabbage. There are no rocks in this mountain. That's fascinating.
Oh yeah, there's some places now.
That's what I was used to, where I live now. Down here, but now where y'all lived then what?
Yeah.
Well, you go up in Big Run here, I can see up there where it used to be houses. And you can see rocks piled right where they piled up the road. You get them off the patch, right, you know, there. And that's the
diff. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Yeah, if there was some rocks.
This place is not what it is. This was rock.
Yeah. Did the people open up new fields?
Well, yeah, what land they could had to clear, but they, a lot of times they wouldn't clear it all off. They had to, they depended on wood then. So just like Daddy had around about 40 acres or 38 or 40 acres, they'd aim to clean about half of it off. You saved so much of it for wood because they never dreamed about oil and this or like that that you were going to be burning back in there or anything. They just figured on for the wood from now on.
Well then, how did they do rotation of crops, or didn't they bother?
Oh, they didn't bother too much about it. Well, they'd do maybe one field corn, and the next year you've got a little hay or pasture the cattle or something like that. And of course, we didn't, in the summertime, just like I say, we just run the cows out wherever they go, want to go. Yeah.
So they didn't open up new fields?
No, not see, only just what land you had, you could. And once you got it cleared, what you wanted, you just let the rest of it go.
Did you ever see the mountain people open up new fields?
Well, no, most of them, I think, what they did up there, they got a lot of this land cleared up, and these was in pasture for these farmers out.
Mm-hmm.
See, and they run the cattle up there in the summertime.
Yeah.
And maybe one person live on this fellow's farm, and he looked after his cattle for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the others lived around there like that, and they only had probably small, maybe an acre or two or something like that there. And they would just only have little patches because in the mountains, maybe a little holler here, you go over on an old year, and there would be a big patch of sweet corn or corn like that, maybe a half acre and just regular corn for to feed the cattle in the wintertime, the cows, something like that there.
Did the people around here eat beef?
Oh yeah. Yeah, they butcher beef once in a while, or you could buy your beef, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have any that you froze over the winter, hang up to freeze?
Oh, beef? Oh yeah, that's on the way back at that time. I don't know what I would work now, but we have hung up a quarter of the beef and it would last. It would stay till you'd eat it up. But I believe it would spoil this day and time now, unless you would butcher it right in. And I don't believe it's keep in January now, though, because some years it may, and then again it may not.
Right.
Yeah.
That's always amazed me, that it could keep.
Yeah, we did keep it back at that time. And just like when we butchered our hogs, we had stuff for sausage. Well, we had a pole across there in the smokehouse, and you'd go in there and just ring that sausage around like that there. All around that pole like that there, and then from then on, when you want sausage, my mother go up there for breakfast, she'd just go take a pan and just cut the sausage off and bring it back in the pan like that there.
Mm-hmm. Homemade sausage.
Yeah.
You're good.
Indeed it was.
Yeah.
It's a little milk gravy.
Yeah. What would be your typical breakfast?
Well, I'd say sausage like that there and gravy, and a lot of times what would be the things is would get a little tight, mostly potatoes, gravy and like that there, and some people back, but most of all was have jelly or something like that.
Okay.
And make whole cakes and bake bread, light bread and warm bread. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mother, she'd bake light bread and then warm bread and just biscuits or like that there, you know.
Did you all drink milk?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was a milk drinker myself. I don't drink as much of it now. Well, I reckon guess goes so high, it's $2 a gallon now. Then it was just, we called it free.
There's a lot better milk, too. I'll bet you can remember a ghost story that they used to tell, can't you?
Well, I don't know whether I could remember any. I've had quite a few told to me. Yeah. Ghost stories. I know I had a cousin that lived down at what we called the Burner Place, and I was just a young boy around about 12 years old, and he had, about 10 or 12 of them family. And I'd go down and play with them boys, and then it'd get dark in the evenings, and he'd go to telling these stories. I'd get a little scared to go up, and I knew that's what he was doing it for. And till I just wait till I knew I'd have to go, so then I'd take off and run the best part of the way out after the field was home.
And you don't remember any of the stories?
No, to get them together, there was always something that would come down the steps, or you'd hear a thump, thump, and like that, or the door slam, and this, that thing, yet you couldn't see nobody.
You didn't play practical jokes?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think not too much then. I don't know. I think then people would have sort of took up for each other more than what they do now.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody would have been in trouble, they'd been more apt to your neighbors to back you up than what they would now, you know. Mm-hmm. Sort of that close relationship between neighbors.
Of course, it was some of it, John. I remember incident where my wife's brother, he's dead now, and the shipping boy lives down there, married my sister. And we'd all been a-hunting. And so we was coming on out the road, and so he reached in this fellow's coat pocket and got a shell out, put in his gun, he shot. And he, first thing there, he'd bump up into him again, he'd get another shell, and he'd shoot again. And so after he felt the kid, we got on the other side, got all the shells, he couldn't really find no more. So he said, his name was Herbert, said, "Herbert, how about you shooting one?" He rested in his pocket, he didn't have a shell. Enoch was the boy's name, we called him Dude. And every time he'd shoot, well, Herbert would say, "Shoot again, Dude." And then just as soon as he got a chance to get his shell, he would shoot. And so when he asked him to shoot, he didn't have nothing to shoot with.
That was practice.
He was pretty good for that. Now and then you'd find some, you know, just some of us didn't, and some did, but we all enjoyed it, you know, something like that.
Sure.
Get a big laugh out of it.
Dude was about the most known practical joker.
Yeah, I guess he was.
He really was.
That
was
just sort of a
trait
of his, but I had
forgotten
about that.
What would you hunt?
Huh?
What would you hunt?
Squirrels, rabbits, possums. We didn't have many coons back at the time when we was growing up in here. There was a few way back in the mountains, but we always kept a hunting dog, and where we'd catch possums with, and squirrels. We caught a lot of squirrels and rabbits. But we didn't
sell any of them, or did you eat all of them?
But that was one thing. I had rabbit boxes when I was growing up and going to school, and I'd go around my rabbit boxes every morning. And mostly we had a produce called man that run around with the truck once every week on Thursdays. And so I'd catch my rabbits, and all we had to do was just take the entrails out and just hang them up in the smokehouse, and they'd freeze. And then my mother would take them down and sell them to the produce man. And that's the way I'd keep my spending change through the winter.
Good.
And I'd get 15, sometimes 20 cents. I have got as much as a bacon and a quarter for a rabbit.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was money.
That was money, yeah. I forgot to ask about shoes. Did you wear shoes all year round?
Oh, no, we went barefooted in the summertime some. Yeah. Well, these boys going up, oh, sure. That was, we'd just take out ours, the feet got so tough, and just run anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Weren't afraid of snakes?
No, not actually. We've seen a lot of them, but yeah. We kill them. Rattlesnakes, copperheads. But them was the most two that we were, had to look out for, the black snakes. We didn't pay no attention much to them, a little guard. And others you see around, water snakes, there's so many of them on the creek. We'd swim right around, they'd dive in the creek or something, and they'd go back in the banks, and we'd just go in and swim in the creek.
Yeah. Your shoes in the winter, you buy at the store?
That's right. You'd mostly, I forget what the name of them was, but they cost about, that time back, about $1.98. Mm-hmm. You get a pair of shoes, about $1.98.
Did you ever wear those little things, sort of like a pony's
heel plates on them?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also we had steel toes. My daddy, you know, we had boys had to weigh in our back up there. We had to walk out to school, and just like I say, it was rocks in places, and over them heels was rocks, and we kicked the toes out of our shoes. And he bought shoes that had these steel plates come up in front of them, keep you from kicking the toes out. You hit a rock to see sparks fly.
You must have been good. Nice and quiet to have around the house. Were your shoes the same, Mr. Roach?
I don't remember, Father.
You don't remember? Was there any cobbler anywhere around here?
Well, no, mostly, well, I guess it was someone fixed shoes and help, but mostly we did ourselves. I've had so many fast shoes. And so my wife's brother.
Every family had
a last. They had an iron last. Most every family had one.
Yeah.
And they did their own shoes, you know, and they bought the leather and your tacks. You soak it in water and then trim the leather like you want it, put a tack on your shoes and go around it.
Did you ever buy them in the store?
Well, we couldn't make the whole shoe. We just, you know, if our shoes would wear out, you know, the soles and the heels.
Yeah.
And like that, we would redo them, you see, and put new heels and new soles on them. And that's the way we had a back in new pair of shoes to wear for a long
time.
And
everybody could do this.
Yeah.
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 Different sizes, get different size shoes and all, too. Had the little small metal plates that fit on top of the stand, remember?
And had one for the women? Women's shoes?
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah, one for the
women. I bet all those still up home. I remember that. Doing that.
Oh, yeah.
I bet all that's still. I've seen different sizes, you know, they had different shapes.
That's right.
Fit down over the face again.
Oh, gorgeous. Christmas. Did you get presents at Christmas?
Well, we got a few. Most all of us, most all the boys, or something like get a cap pistol. And, y'all got pistols and some caps.
Just one thing, we just mostly.
Yeah. That's okay, right.
Each one got one toy.
Yeah, like that there. You never got a
did
girl.
Did you get all firecrackers?
Oh, yeah, we get firecrackers.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Did your parents drink?
Well, my daddy may have drank a little bit at one time, but not as I remember, he didn't drink too much.
I need a Christmas.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't know if he had any. I never seen it that I remember other most of Christmas like that.
Yeah, he didn't drink, but we did, didn't
he? Yeah, we did after we got a little older.
That good moonshine.
Yeah.
That was good stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
He usually round up a little bit of Christmas time.
As little boys, did you play marbles? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they play marbles, but mostly when we got big enough that we could get out, we hunted more, except now in the summertime, but in the summertime, if we got big enough where we get to the creek, we played in the creek or in the woods. I don't care if we was raised in the woods, but just we like to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing we would do, I don't know whether J.P. here was with, but his brother, they had I think it was about a half a dozen old muskets there at the house one time at their house. My daddy didn't have any. And they had these long muskets and double barrels. And we would just get them guns and get out in the woods and carry them around. I know for a long time we used them old guns to just carry around like we were hunting. They wasn't no good, but I sure love to have them now.
Mrs. Shefflett, can you recall your Christmas when you were a little girl?
Not very much. I can remember my daddy having far crackers and the far wars and putting them on. He always enjoyed Christmas so much. I can remember, you know, I was small, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's putting them far wars off the full daylight. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Did you get any toys?
Yes, we get practically the same, you know, the toy piece.
I think mostly for girls was these little baby carriages. They used to get a dolly doll baby, and then they, if they didn't get the both at one Christmas, then probably the next Christmas you got a baby carriage to put your doll baby in.
Yeah.
And that's for girls. I know what they did at home, and I know others around, I've seen that.
You know, nowadays, I think kids get so much, they really don't enjoy it. They don't treat you.
They don't. How about music? Now, when you were visiting anybody, did anybody take down a banjo and start to play?
Oh, yes. I could pick a banjo a little bit, not too much, but I picked a little bit at times. I still got a banjo, but my fingers don't want to let me play much anymore, but I can could play with anybody much. We played for some dances like it. That was another thing that we had around the edge of the mountains here and around through the valley. It was a square dance. We always had them at somebody's home. We'd have to get in and have to take all the furniture out of one room. And that night then the fiddle and the banjo, mostly, we had a good fiddler. He was from up here in Linwood, Fiddler John Morris.
Mm-hmm.
And he played for Roosevelt up the Big Meadows one time on Shannon Drive.
Oh, he did.
And he was a real fiddler, and so we didn't like nothing for music around here in our part of it when we would get him. And we'd come and we'd dance up until maybe 2 o'clock in the morning. And like that, then that's where they had a little moonshine around, you know, to drink in. And of course, I never seen them have any trouble much at all. Now and then it might be a little something to try, but mostly they all could drink and enjoy themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, take a few drinks and then dance, just keep on dancing then.
Well, now that is, I've got something I want to tell you, remind me when this tape is over. Because I think it'll be cute. You say doctors, you had doctors that came here regularly.
Yeah, we had Dr. Ernest, not Ernest, but Dr. Miller, Frank Miller,
mm-hmm.
more at Pineville. And then we had another doctor, McGaggersville, Dr. Hammer, and Dr. Yancey.
Yeah.
And mostly Dr. Miller was the main one, I mean, would come out when you would call and we'd have to go walk, you know, you'd have to walk clean to the store or somebody had a phone.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd call him and in the wintertime, I've seen him come out if the snow was on the ground. He'd have his horse and sleigh bells mm-hmm. on his horse and sleigh. And he'd come out like that there. I remember my uncle lived up in the woods. My granddaddy was out with him. And we had to get out and call Dr. Miller. And first thing we could hear them bells ringing for wherever he got up there to the house.
Yeah.
And he'd come out on a pair and he'd sleigh.
Mm-hmm. Did you know if the mountain people bought newspapers?
No, I don't really think that they did because they didn't get out that much. I don't believe that because just like where we lived, we were sometimes only when we'd going to school. Now we did take the paper, but when you get up in the mountains like some of them lived up in there, they had to come out through down here by Mr. Harner's down there and come out Little Gap Road, and it was a long ways out of there, and they didn't come out that often. Just like Mr. Jim Williams and them that used to live up here in Big Run.
Mm-hmm.
We'd, some nights in the fall of the year, if we'd get over here on Big Run Road, they called it, we'd meet Mr. Cy Williams, we'd be possum hunting, and about 11 o'clock he'd be going back in from the store, and he'd have two sacks, one on one side and one on the other, tied together full of stuff. And I don't see how he carried it. And he talked with you 5 minutes. I remember I was a boy and he'd never set it down, though. He'd just kept it on his back. And then he'd walk on and walk back from the mountains with it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe have a 25 pound poker flyer, 25 pound of cornmeal, all things like that there, sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And they would go back. So they I don't think he'd come out but about every 2 weeks or maybe longer than that. See where he'd get out.
Did you ever visit any of the people up there?
Oh, we've been by Pete Huckleberry's and been by up in there. They had a, that's where a lot of people from out in here, they cut timber back up in there. And old Mr. Williams, he had a sawmill back up in there. He had a engine.
What, a portable sawmill?
No, he had a regular, just a bunny steam engines. He had it back up in there.
Oh.
And he had, well, they sold that old engine. The engine stayed up there after the park taken over. It was, that engine part of it was left. I think the people went in though and hauled it out, and taken it all out. I remember when the old engine was together. It was done with junk, but the whole engine sat there with the wheels and all on it.
The people that you saw when you were out hunting and huckleberry picking, were they all very friendly and nice?
Oh yeah, they
knew you.
Yeah, sure. Most everyone around knew each other, you see, unless you would go way back up in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Back up on top of the mountains or the mountains. Up in there where they live.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Did you ever go up there, Mr. Roach?
Well, they were. They done moved out by the time I was going up in there.
Uh-huh.
Looking at a freight station.
I was just wondering if you knew how those people reacted when they knew the park was coming through.
Well, from what I could read and can remember about it, the reaction was not good. And, of course, you couldn't blame them. No, it was home. And that's what you would just like if somebody would walk up to you, I don't care where you live, and say, you got to move. And get out. And the word is not good when they say them to you, when you got to say, leave.
Do you know how any of them adjusted? Did you follow up any?
No, I think I couldn't call the name, but I've heard them talk about some that after they got out, they done pretty very well. Yes, they adjusted to it. Taking a while. I know it was Harris family up here, Grotto's, Roy Harris and him. I knew them, got acquainted with them working up there, and they was talking about their daddy. Daddy moving out from up in there.
Roy Harris? Are they still alive?
Well, I think, there's Roy is alive and another one. Doug, I believe it is. He's alive.
Duke Harris.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Duke?
That was Duke.
We called him Doug.
Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they live in Grotto's?
They live in Grotto's, yeah.
And they live in the mountains.
And now it's another boy at Bill Morris, that was Luther Morris's son. He lives across the mountain over at Afton now. He was raised up on the mountain.
He lives Luther?
Yeah, Luther Morris's son.
Oh, you don't know his
name. Bill.
Oh, Bill.
Yeah, Bill Williams. Morris. And I think he lives around Afton over there somewhere.
Okay, thank you. was there much stealing and cheating?
No. I don't think, the most cheating, I reckon, if you'd call it cheating, I wouldn't say it would be. It was maybe one of getting the best of the other in a horse trade, a horse deal of that kind, or something like that. But as far as stealing, I don't think it was much stealing or anything going on, unless somebody would have a watermelon patch out or something, and you'd get yourself watermelons, you're going to buy something, and half time nobody paid attention to that.
Yeah.
So I don't think back at that time, we hardly have a lot of time. We'd go out of the house, never even lock a door or nothing, just long. And if anybody wanted or something, they'd get it. They never wouldn't do you no harm.
I've never been here
in
the home.
No,
Mm-hmm. And everybody's home was open then.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, all they had was a, like where we live, we just had a latch, a spring, hung out the door.
Yeah,
you know.
That's right.
Pull that thing.
Yeah.
Was there much close marrying between, first cousins or something of that kind?
Well, I don't, I knew of one family I think was married first cousin. That was well, was my daddy's cousin too. It was Riley and Rosie Shepherd. I think they were first cousins. But now it was some marriage are now like third cousins. My sister married a third cousin, and there was quite a few marriages I think around in different places where third cousins married. But then when you take second or first, that was it would happen, but it was a little unusual. It didn't do much of it.
What did the people do if you had in your family somebody who was not quite right mentally?
Well, I think most of it was just taken care of by the family. You know, mostly just taken care of by the family.
Right.
Do you remember anybody around that was? I can't recall anybody right off.
No. I don't guess that I do, but only just in reading about it in a way. But I think it's a couple that I've heard of that I heard my mother and dad talk about, rather, that, you know, with was taken care of by the families, you know, like that.
Yeah. Same thing with people that got elderly.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mostly. Like my dad's mother and father, they stayed with us a while, and then they stayed with my uncle, Asbury, they call him, and they take care of them like that. That's the way those old people mostly went with some of the children. Yeah.
If a neighbor got sick, what happened?
Well, there was always mostly someone there to help out, or go get a doctor if you weren't able to go, like that. There, all you had to do was holler, something was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And as mostly as someone I was there.
Think it was better then?
Yeah.
Think life was better then?
Oh, I really think in that part of it, it is better in what it is today. It was better, but not as far as money and things like that was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But people that day didn't want it. Money was only just something that used to buy something with. So I don't think they wanted too much.
Mm-hmm.
Except just to be taken care of. I mean, the money was just something for them to like, just to buy stuff.
Right.
Like that there. And outside of that, to want a whole lot, I don't think people really wanted a whole lot.
No. Do you think that the mountain people were patriotic? Did you hear of any of them having fought in the Civil War and in the...
I don't think that they, in a way, that they wanted to go just for that. I think that mostly, just like in the first wars, I had an uncle. He didn't live long after World War I. But I think that it was just like their duty, and they felt like going that they should for the country. I think that was just the whole thing of it. It's not like it is this day and time now. They're getting so they don't believe in that much of being just put in any kind of a war at all.
Mm-hmm.
And but back at that time, I think it was just when your country called, you was ready to go. You felt like going. Yeah.
Oh boy, this is my marvel. Can you? I've been doing all the questioning. Have you anything that you want? You can think of that I haven't asked.
I don't know. Seems like we've practically covered right much of it. I mean, doing the people.
Benny, can you think of anything I haven't asked?
How old are you now?
I'm 69.
Don't you dare.
No, I wouldn't make a point. He's still one of the best trappers and best fishermen in the county. Right now, you have at least a 5-mile trap line now, don't you?
Well, I slowed down a little last year.
I know, but
if I take, I take my truck and all, I got a right far.
We talked about it once.
Yeah.
And if anybody, there's a lot of fox and stuff like that in the winter. He's still, real active.
Uh-huh.
And if anybody butchers, they always get peanuts.
Yeah, I call him 16.
He's our head butcher. He's still our head butcher. We butcher in the fall.
The butchering in the fall. Was that always done in the fall?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a regular thing, too. See, we'd have hogs, and that was something else that you didn't say. Coming back at that time, mostly it was just help. You'd help one another, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was something to start early in the morning. You'd start early, and sometimes you wouldn't finish. But then later on in years, we got so that we was a little bit better than the old, older folks. We got on to a scalding pan, and then we had our way of doing things where, in butchering, they used to hang their head up on a post, you know, and wait till after all the meat was cut up, and then they would cut the heads up and go to making the pudding like that there, you see, in the pot horse, they call it. So we got to butchering, we just cleaned our heads first and got all that on, so while we was cooking, cutting up the meat, that would be cooking. Then we'd finish up in the evening. Mm-hmm. So we can get out here and butcher five or six hogs and finish up by 4 or 5 o'clock easy, Kate.
Yeah. I think last time we got, what, 5 or 6?
Yeah.
Here? We done five, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You make the sausage at the same time?
Do it all. Mm-hmm.
Grind your sausage.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Salt and pepper, the ham, the shoulder.
Everything's
fast down.
Except for the sausage separate. Away and hang the meat up.
That's right.
Keep out the tenderloin. And you pick out canned meat if you want some for you, sausage, the best piece you want, and you use for canning.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
And older people now, there's one thing, they wanted their hogs so fat back then. They wanted their hogs, I've seen my daddy have my hogs where, have the hogs where they would just sit down and eat. They would just sit down and eat like that there, and the corn be there, and they wouldn't get up. They'd just sit there and eat a year where you throw it over to them. But they wanted that lard. They believed in that's what you had to have through the winter, all the lard you could get.
Mm-hmm.
And now, we just a little different that. We got to realize on using all this grease and stuff, you see. And now we like a hog that's a little bit leaner. We can get the hog to grow up and not as much fat on it. We do away with a lot of that lard.
What did you feed the hogs when you were a little boy?
Corn.
Anything else?
Corn is the most of the thing. Of course, now sometimes we feed them what they call the middlings. If we had sow and pigs, and then but after that, as soon as we could get them up and any size, then we just went on corn to fatten them all out, and that would fatten them too.
You didn't give them milk?
No. Oh yes, we had some milk that was we didn't use. Yes, we'd give milk. Yeah, sure. A lot of times we'd have. What's called haver milk, you know, sour. Mm. And you just take a bucket full, maybe put a scoop of feed in that then if you had a sound boy and just give it to us. It was made cheap feed, you see, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, I heard Charlie talk about when he lived back on the mountain, he said
they
fattened them on their
chests. Well, yeah, the old people used to. Yeah, they used to just turn the hogs out in the mountains and they fattened off the chests.
Sure.
Yeah.
They made real meat, too.
Yeah.
Mm. That's the reason a lot of our game left from the Blue Ridge Mountains, like our coons and turkeys and different things. The chestnuts left and the game had to leave. It was not the. And another thing was our wild grapes. They're gone. You hardly ever see any wild grapes anymore.
How would that be?
Well, the
Japanese beetle.
Japanese beetle, and they naturally, after the forest, when a forest would burn over, new grapevines would come out. And now we haven't had forests back in the mountains, and the timbers growed up and shaded them out. Japanese beetle, wherever one, I reckon they'd find one, they would eat it up.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that's
passed. You know, I believe it'd be a big help if they would go ahead and burn one mountain each year, like or something.
Oh, yeah.
New shoots come up.
They finding out, I think they're doing that in some places now. Just like, one thing about our park, they don't believe in burning or doing nothing in that. They just leave it just like it is. Yeah. They don't even, if you go up there, you're not supposed to even break off a flower or nothing when you walk in the park.
But they aren't fighting the forest as hard as they used to, are they?
No, no. I think when forest starts now and gets in there, they going to let it
they
burn.
Work around it,
and just go around and let it burn over so much.
I think they really are doing that from now on.
No, you're speaking of the mountain people back a while ago. I think they were people that went back in there. It was just more or less like we call the mountain men in the West. They were people to get away. They wanted to, as long as they was out of working for somebody, they were poor people, education limited, maybe third, fourth grade, some could just write.
Mm-hmm.
But they all knew, I think, more or less how to count the money. because they would handle the money pretty well. Mm-hmm. But they got back in there, and even to build on the park, it would just clean them up for some ground, and they'd say they had a place of their own. And it was more or less like they was independent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were on their own. Even though it was a hard life, mm-hmm. still I think they enjoyed it.
They're healthy people, weren't they?
Oh, yes, I think, and they were rugged, they were tough.
Yeah.
They could walk the mountain.
You're that Mr. Williams.
Yeah. That's right, they were tough. They would take, I don't expect you take like 100 pounds. Well, he could just go right on back with it. He didn't pay no attention to it. And what could walk in mountains, them people could just go up one ridge and down the other. And more so than what we could out here, because we could do that. But we walked a lot. I walked to McGagginsville more than one night to a lawn party. And that there's, about 5 miles, 4 or 5 miles over and we walked to McGagginsville back. Yeah, to a lawn party, sure. Get over and get a cone of ice cream and hot dog. And it was all about a nickel, I think, each stand back at that time. You spent about 15, 20 cents.
You were a wild spender, weren't you?
Right. Well, if you got a quarter, you saved a dime probably for next Sunday. On the Sunday, you know, if you got out of something, get you something with. You never spent all your money.
Well, gee whiz, I want to thank you all so much. I'm going to put this all on. Go ahead.
Speaking of the jack-o'-lanterns, you know, they claim it's some kind of gas that forms in the air, and I've seen them. And it's just like a ball of fire,
uh-huh.
about that big around. And it'll bounce along like that there. And you see it, and you mostly see it in swamps or someplace like that, or wet the ground. And after night, you go through there, and, I've seen quite a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll just bounce along just like it's something floating in the air up and down like that till it fades away.
A real dark night? Or
yeah. Yeah, I've seen quite a few of them.
This is a history on your family, a copy of it, and this tells about this haunt, you know, this one house there, and it's been there.
Okay, I'll read that in a second.
That was supposed
and
to be
then,
true,
wasn't
it? Being
what'd you say?
About that there haunt of that house. You'd heard about that.
Oh, what the house?
When they turned them soldiers away
there. Oh, yeah, about this house here.
Yeah, the one that was down here at the railroad.
Yeah, down the railroad, yeah.
Used to be here.
Yeah.
Beside the railroad.
Yeah.
This makes mention about Mr. Gibson and this. And
you know, Jack Lantern, you know, there's another thing we see is this fox fire.
Yes, that fox fire.
Fire. Yeah. We used to see that to glow at night, you know, and there. A lot of things I think people seen and didn't investigate far enough and maybe thought it was something else.
Well,
this,
yeah. The older people, they put fear in them anyway.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
You know,
they would think it was
cut
out. That's it, yeah.
When that you they was telling that on about that dog meeting you for that bridge going home one night? That dog jumped up on
you
and took that dog home with you at night?
Oh, I didn't, that's long ago. Said you walked a cold one night or something. I remember somebody saying about that too.
The dog put his paw right up on your front shoulders, his lip dog or somebody's dog or something there. You just took the dog on home.
I think it was. Yeah, I believe it was. I remember something like that there. Yeah.